Remember Brother John Shirley and his family in your prayers? He had a massive stroke last Thursday morning, and they're trying to keep him stable and keep him alive, pretty much. So remember them in your prayers. It's going to be quite a different change in the church. I don't know whether he'll ever be able to go back to what he was doing or not. But anyway, remember him and his family in your prayers. Brother Roger has got a missions report. Our class is very active in missions. Some of you don't know all about the different mission work that we're doing. We've got three websites up. Actually, four websites are up. I don't have anything to do with the one on YouTube, but we do the other ones. We kind of put together a little bit what our class has been doing to support that. Roger is going to give us a little report on it. But if you'd like to take part in that, Marilyn sends around little envelopes if you'd like to give to any of those areas of our ministry. We're supporting the Solomon Islands. We're supporting Brother Lee Kutstra. He's a missionary every day out on the streets of Bakersfield. And we're Montana Norton, one of our students. He's at Dallas Theological Seminary right now. We have a brand new student. He's not brand new because he was listened to me talk on the radio and teach on the radio 20 years ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But he's just recently, he's got his master's degree now. And he's back on our classes studying. His name is Tony, and he's up by Reno, Nevada. So you can say hi to Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Tony. All right. And Brother Roger, will you come up and give us a short report here?
Sure. One of the good things about this class is you get to volunteer for all kinds of stuff. And it stretches your imagination, just like Jim stretches us through the Word. I'm impressed by the amount of giving and the amount of love, speaking of love, Abe, that goes on from this class out to the world. It goes out through the internet. It goes out through cash money, and it goes out through Lee knocking on doors every week. I'm not quite sure the format of how I'm supposed to present this, so I'm going to do it, and then I'll take constructive criticism afterwards. Montana Norton was supported financially in the amount of $55.
Actually, there's two more, 57.
Oh, okay, 57. Update. There's mission support by Jim through his discovertheworld.com sermon audios, where he's very supportive of that mission and costs him quite a bit of money out of his own pocket, in close to $900.
That's the first edition.
Okay.
But that doesn't include everything.
Okay. The other thing that we support is the Solomon Island missions. Jim gave us quite a bit of information about what happened there during World War II and how they're rebuilding over the years and the struggle that those people have gone through to get churches up and running. I get a report every month, and this month they had one of the churches knocked down in the wind and the rain. You know, the weather there is pretty severe. So that one church is having to start all over again. But let me see. Our total giving to the Solomon Island missions was $864. And I know that's really appreciated because our dollars are worth a whole lot more than their dollars. So the impact of that $800 is having is really, really big. The last item I'd like to mention is Lee Kutstra, a local missionary. We've supported him with money and also some food items. So I'd like to see that keep going. If you want the number, it's $560 that have been sent his way. So that's what I know, and I'm impressed with the efforts that this class has made.
Brother Lee wanted to thank the class very much for all the help. He said he would not be alive today if it wasn't for this class. Simple as that. He would have starved. And so, remember Lee and his work, Brother John, or Dr. John, I should say, Dr. John March, also goes out every Tuesday night, knocking on doors all over the place. So we have two people from our class going out there. Our missionary we support, and Dr. John March. And if any of you want to come here on Tuesday, you can go out and do that. It is a great blessing. We're going to introduce the Antichrist to the world today. The Antichrist is now on the scene. How many of you ever heard Antichrist? Nadine, have you studied much about Antichrist? You've heard that name for all of your life, I am sure. People have all kinds of ideas of when the Antichrist is going to come. I have gone, this is my doctor's thesis. Okay, I think it was 1980. I had written it before 1980, but I turned it in 1980 or 81. And you'd be surprised what I've heard since 1980, since 1960, about what the Antichrist and who he's going to be. We got the four blood moons right now. We got Harold Campy. We've had the Jehovah Witnesses predicting the end of the world. We've got the Seventh-day Adventists that are always contemplating, and all the time, we're right in the tribulation period right now. Herbert Armstrong, Garner Ted Armstrong, those names are not as popular today, but I have seen them. And then, of course, the Aztec calendar. Remember the Aztec calendar, the end of the world? Halley's Comet. You remember when Halley's Comet flew over the last time? That was the end of the world. I had a real good friend of mine who wrote about six books how that when Halley's Comet came over, that was going to be the end. I called him up on the phone when I lived in Nevada, when I was a missionary there, and I said, "Brother," I said, "do you have any of this thing?" He said, "How many of those tapes you have left?" And I said, "Well, I've got several of them." He said, "Burn them. It's all heresy." I've learned a lot since then. I am very conservative when it comes to talking about when the end is. I believe we're in the end times, absolutely. I believe that we are in the end times. But I'm not going to tell you any dates or anything. The Lord could come at any time. The coming of Jesus Christ is imminent. And what does imminent mean? Threatened to happen at any time. We know that, okay? In the Revelation, the sixth chapter, in Revelation 4 and 5, we have the church in heaven. We have a scene of the church in heaven. Revelation 1 through 3 was church history, the whole history of the church. And as you look up here on our dispensational chart, you look back how God dealt with man, how what happened in eternity all the way through time. Here was the promise of Abraham, okay? We have the Egyptian bondage. We have Israel being called out. Then we have Jesus Christ coming. Jesus Christ came. For the first 30 years of his life, he was just like you and me. And all of a sudden, he started his ministry. Before he ever started his ministry, Israel had accepted him as their Messiah. The wrong man was on the throne of Israel, which was Herod, which was Esau's descendant. Wrong family. This isn't Israel, this is Esau. Israel was Jacob. Jacob's descendant was not on the throne. It was Esau's descendant. Everything's all scrambled up. You know, the devil works overtime, doesn't he? He never takes a day off. Never. Brother Fernando was telling Ricky this morning that the devil's been trying to kill me ever since you've known me, hasn't he? I keep preaching the truth. How many times has our website been attacked? In how many ways? This over the years, just think about it. All of that. You know, that's going out. I handed out some numbers today. It's going all over the world. We've got a lot of, if you go up there, you can read the comments on the sermons and on the messages. People are just blown away. One guy says, deep, deep and deeper. Beyond anything that he ever studied. He said, he told on the website, he wrote one comment on there. He said, "I have a master's degree from a conservative seminary." And he said, "I'm going to tell you something. What I learned in seminary classes doesn't even scratch what Dr. Phillips is talking about." So you're getting some pretty deep stuff here. You're getting what I taught in the seminary and what was taught in the seminary 50 years ago. See, I'm an antique apostle. Okay? That's what you get for having an apostle for a Sunday school teacher. The Revelation, the sixth chapter, is after the church age. We won from heaven. 4 and 5, we were in heaven. We saw what's going on up there. What's going on in heaven up there? Who knows? What's going on up in heaven during this time right here? What happens up in heaven? Revelation 4 and 5. We have a party. Everybody wants to party down right now, don't they? That's what you hear all the time, party, party, party. Well, they're having a party in heaven for 7 years. And now on the earth, they're having hell on earth for 7 years. Because they have rejected the Messiah. Because Israel rejected her Messiah. Every one of those Israelis that are there are Christ rejectors. They're Christ rejectors. Most of the Israelis in the world today are Christ rejectors. Most of the Israelis ruling Israel today are atheists. You really get down to it. Am I right, brother? Roger, you've studied that culture quite a little bit. They're atheists. They're Sadducees. You go down in Hollywood, you go down in the Jewish district, many of the Jews down there are Sadducees. They don't believe in any eternal, they don't believe in spirits, they don't believe in eternal life, they don't really believe in God. They just have a moral structure. They believe in right and wrong. Okay? Now let's look at the predator, the master predator, the Antichrist. The world is going to welcome the Antichrist. I'm going to read from you my notes. Okay, because I put them down pretty good back then. And standing up here doing this now with all these strokes and stuff, I don't remember so well, so I can't put it together, so I'll read it. Okay? The Jews are looking for a Messiah who will build their temple for them. Now, you can go online today. You can make donations for this temple. Did you know that? You can make donations for this temple. But they're waiting for the Antichrist to build it. You can go onto these, what we call Judeo-Christian groups, and you can make donations to the temple that's going to be in Jerusalem. But I'm going to tell you about that temple. Whose temple is it? The Antichrist temple. You want to make donations to the Antichrist temple? You can. There are people doing it. There are people in Christian churches making donations to that. Someplace up here we may even have that. I had a whole deal on that here a while back. They are not even planning for a new temple themselves. They say he will do it for them, according to many sources. The rest of the Gentile world has always been looking for a human ruler to solve all of their problems. That's what we call historic optimism. And God is going to give them what they deserve. A man, a man, a man. 666. 6 is the number of man. What's the number of the Antichrist? 666. Man, man, man. All right? The ultimate man. The prideful man. The glorious man. The predatory man. The Adamic. Malignancy. Yes.
Do you believe that people can be possessed even if they've been in church and everything? Do you think that the devil can possess?
A child of God cannot be possessed or inhabited by evil spirits, but they can be tormented by them. And they can definitely be led astray by them. You have to be in God's Word. God's Word is what inoculates you from heresy. I can guarantee you that. God's Word is what inoculates you, vaccinates you from heresy. You've got to learn it. Okay? Because there are many, we know there are many of God's people led astray by foolishness, by whims. You know, I'm going to read you some of my notes here. The rise of the Antichrist on his white horse is promised. He promises peace. Now, how many of you got your little chart? Nadine, do you have a little chart like this? My chart is actually better. You don't have one of these charts? My chart is better, but I don't know where any more of them are. My little chart is like this one. It's crummy looking. Randall says he's going to try to make this. You know, he can do all kinds of stuff. This was a chart that I made out. Actually, it was in color in my thesis, but it's just black and white here.
Where is Randall?
What?
Where is Randall?
I don't know.
He's here sometime.
All right. The seal judgment shall include. These are seal. Look at the seal judgments, okay? See the seal judgments? The seal judgments. Seal 1. The Antichrist shall take his throne on the political platform of peace, and he will be given the ability to put down any civil war among the nations that he is over. Okay? Now, the Antichrist, what nation bloc will he be over? Is he going to be over Russia? Will he be over Russia? No. Will he be over China? No. Will he be over the African nations? No. Who's he going to be over? He's going to be over the Western nation, which includes the United States. The Antichrist will be ruler of the United States and France and Germany and England and all of those nations. That's the ones that he's going to be over. Okay. Now, when we think about evil Russia, we think about evil China, we think about evil Korea, the Antichrist is not going to affect them. They're going to fight them. He's going to fight with them. There's going to be a tremendous war. All right? Does that make you feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck just a little bit? It ought to. Number two, he's going to be able to squelch civil war under the bloc of nations which have joined his confederation, Revelation 6, 1 and 2. Now, we're going to go back and read these verses, but I want to tell you what about it just a little bit first. Seal number 2. Peace shall be taken from the earth, and much blood will be shed as nations rebel against the Antichrist, and civil war is continuous within the confederation, 6, 3, and 4. Number 3, we talk about depression. Talk about depression. Almost every time in the history of America when big business has taken over, we have a tremendous depression afterwards. But it's going to be nothing compared to what's going to happen, because we're going to have the ultimate big business. We're going to have an ultimate, what we call super hyper-capitalism during the Antichrist kingdom. Great famine will take place, and a day's food will be sold for a day's wages only. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. What happened when Teddy Roosevelt took over in 1900? 75% of the nation of America was in extreme poverty, barely able to meet. When a child went to work at 5 years old in the factories, people were slaves. They were indentured slaves. What is the only president in the United States that was a slave? Brothers. Let's say that again. What was the only president in the United States that was a former slave? Andrew Johnson. The one who took over after Lincoln. He was a white slave too, by the way. There was white slavery. Don't you think there wasn't? All right. And America still practiced slavery. Among American Indians, they were still selling Indians at the auction block in 1869 in Los Angeles. Indians were still used as slaves on ranches in Utah, Arizona, and Nevada, and California until the 1930s when the Social Security Act went in. It had set them free. No. Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to talk about the migration of wealth. It's going to migrate. Right now, we've got the oil companies. We've got migration of wealth. You see our high prices? That's no reason for that. But that's political, and they're cutting your throats, and that's what we call a migration of wealth. They did it before. They did it in the 1970s. I saw the first time. It's getting worse all the time. But it's going to be worse here than ever. Revelation 6, 5, and 6. Number 4, one quarter of the population of the earth shall be filled or be killed by war, famine, and pestilence, and disease, which always follows in this order of every war, Revelation 6, 7, and 8. Seal number 5, many who were saved after the rapture shall now be martyred, killed for their faith. People are going to be saved by the millions during the tribulation period, but they're going to die for their faith. You want to be saved before the tribulation period. You don't want to go through the tribulation period. The Mormons are looking, and they're supplying themselves with gold and silver and food. And when the Antichrist takes over, he's going to take all of it. Your gold won't be worth 10 cents. I don't care if you got 500 pounds of it. Your silver won't be worth anything. You can't buy food. You won't be able to have a job unless you got his number. And by the way, the number could be your Social Security number. You can't get a job without it. You can't buy food without it. You can't have a bank account without it. You can't get a ham radio license without it. You can't get a driver's license without it. You can't go to the doctor without it. Okay? That's already set up. We're already here. All it has to be is just the moment. The rapture takes place, and he comes into power. The Holy Spirit in God's true New Testament churches is holding back the power of the Antichrist today, even though he's working overtime. Okay? He's working overtime. All right? But the power of the Holy Spirit in the churches is holding him back. When the rapture takes place, it doesn't mean people won't get saved. All those people are going to be saved one way. There's only one story of soteriology in the Bible. You're indwelt by the Spirit of God when you're born again from Adam to now and even during the tribulation period. But they're going to have to die. One quarter of the population of the earth shall be killed by war, famine, and pestilence and disease, which will follow in that order, Revelation 6, 7, and 8. Number 5, the fifth seal. Many who were saved after the rapture shall now be martyred and shall die. Revelation 6, 9 through 11.
You don't have anything that you heard the gospel before the rapture and didn't go in the rapture day.
We haven't got there yet, brother. But that's a good question. Come up here and say it loud. That's a good question. Run up here and ask that question. That's a good one. Yeah, they got to hear it.
What if you heard the gospel before the tribulation and you didn't trust the Lord and you were left behind? I thought somewhere in the Bible that it said, I'm not sure where, that you would have a cloud of disillusionment come over you and you would not be able to know the truth. I mean, there's two beliefs.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good question. False religion always clouds the truth, and they believe a lie and they're damned. It says that several places in the Bible. It doesn't have anything to do, that's outside of the tribulation period. Many people after as in the days of Noah, so shall be what? The coming of the Son of Man. What happened in the days of Noah? Noah preached for how long? 120 years he preached. They had 120 years to repent, but they didn't do it. How long did Enoch preach? 300 years Enoch preached. He even wrote a book. You can look at some of that book, whether it's valid or not, don't know, but I think it's pretty valid. It goes all the way back to 1000 B.C. The Jews believed it. I don't say it's inspired. The book of Jasher isn't inspired, but it talks about the same things here. Those people heard the truth. When the rains came, when God shut the door on the ark, it's like the rapture. They're caught up. Everybody on the outside of that ark drowned. But many believed on the outside of the ark. Because of what Noah had preached for 120 years, for what Enoch had preached for 120 years. And those people were old. Some of them had heard the gospel for 300 years. It only tells us what some of the lifetimes were. But there's people outside of that faith line that lived 500, 600 years. Some of them might even live more than 969 years, which is Methuselah. What does Methuselah mean? Methuselah. What does that mean? When he is dead, it shall come to pass. When he is dead, it shall come to pass. They were looking for him to die because Enoch named him. He said, when he's dead, it shall come to pass. For 300 years he preached. And then we'll have another 120 years. That's 420 years those people had heard the gospel. And some of them died on the outside of the ark, scratching to get inside. Did that answer your question, Brother Mike? A little bit? All right, let's go on a little further. Number six seal. Many earthquakes shall take place. The sun shall be darkened. Here, the four blood moons, is the people think all this is going to happen right now? This is way over in the tribulation period. We're not in it. The rapture hasn't taken place. You're not going to have the four blood moon type coming, all right? It's out of order. They don't know the theology. Okay? That's it. They need to go back to school. All these preachers preaching out about this, this is... Many earthquakes shall take place. The sun shall be darkened. The moon shall appear as blood. Now, I wrote this 40 years ago almost. And many stars and asteroids shall fall to the earth. One of them went by the other day the size of a school bus. Did you know that? It got real close. It got so close it was between the moon and us. When I lived up in Fish Lake Valley up there one night, I heard a roar of 100 freight trains in the sky. And the sky lit up. It was nighttime. I was out there on the radio in my radio room. I look out there and the whole place lights up. I'd run outside real quick and I thought something was coming out of space. I didn't know what in the world it was. But it looked like it was right above my house. It landed in Arizona. But it was space junk. Talk about a roar and commotion. It lit up. It came over the Sierras. It lit up all the Owens Valley. And then it came over and started lighting up the whole country all the way to Arizona. And I was at the western edge in Nevada. It went all the way over into Arizona. It's going to be more than space junk. Many stars. There will be a lot of shooting stars. Shall fall to the earth. How much junk and stuff hit the earth today? We don't even know about. How much more does the earth weigh every day? How many of you know that? The earth weighs more than a ton a day more each day. Did you know that? From all the stuff hitting the earth. Well, this, you all those falling stars you see, they're going to earth. Every time you get out and you see a falling star, most of it disintegrates before it gets to the earth. But this stuff's going to start hitting the earth. Talk about freight trains in the sky. There's going to be a lot of scared people during this period of time. Many shall seek to hide from the wrath of God because they know it's coming. They will hide to no avail. Many more are saved at this time. The nation of Israel is numbered, sealed, and God reveals the future joy of those who shall die for Him during the tribulation period. Seal number seven. Now this is going through all the way through the tribulation period. We're talking about all the way through it. The sixth chapter of Revelation goes all the way through the whole 7 years. And then we go back and we start taking each little part of what happened. And that's what we're going to talk about. Nadine, you ever heard this before? Like this. Okay. Let's get with it. All right. Yes.
I have a question. Going back to Noah's ark.
Yeah.
Do you mean that there were when God closed the ark, the door, there was the people on the outside were good people?
Some people were saved. No. They weren't good before the ark was closed. They didn't believe. But once the ark was closed, their destiny was sealed as far as life and death. They wouldn't get on the ark. We keep preaching today, come, let the Lord save your soul, believe, and come and be baptized and join one of God's New Testament churches and serve the Lord now. Many people have heard that. All right, but during the tribulation period, I think immediately after the rapture, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people saved. Hundreds of thousands. How many of you ever saw Left Behind? The movie Left Behind. That was pretty good. It was really pretty good. And there was one guy that his wife was saved and he was left behind. He became a leader. You know, and all of that. But he wasn't a believer before. There will be silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Seal number 7. All right. Let's go back now to Revelation 6 and 1. Revelation 6 and 1. Nadine, those cookies, everybody is loving them very much. You did a real good job. Is that manna? Manna? How many of you heard about this abracadabra lately? What does abracadabra mean? What does abracadabra mean? Anybody know? They've been throwing this around. Abracadabra means I have created this thing. That's what it literally means. And another way, if you get it, it's Aramaic, by the way. It means Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, according to some sources. But most it means that I have created this thing. And they say, abracadabra. Remember in the old days, I don't want to hocus pocus, you know, something appears. I have created this thing. That's what it means. I have created this thing. I don't care what anybody tells you out there. That's what it means. And I saw when he opened up the Lamb, one out of the 7 seals, the first seal. And I heard one out of the 4 living beings saying, as in a sound of great bass tones, thunder. Great bass tones and thunder. Now, all of this takes place after the rapture. After the rapture. These are the people on the earth that are going to experience this after the rapture. After the rapture. Now, all of these people, if salvation is so simple, half of the world is totally confused. Where's that bill? What happened to him? I remember when he came to my class. For 3 years, he was in my class. He said he went to church for 30-something years in his life and that he never knew whether he was going to get to go to heaven or not. He always thought that he was undone. And he said after about 3 years in my class, I remember the day he came up here with his tears in his eyes and hugged me and kissed me, and he said, "Today I know that I'm saved." He saved a long time before that. But he didn't know he was saved. You know, what do you have to do to get saved? What is the formula? Believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He came into the world? That He was really God the Son? That He really died on the cross of Calvary? That He really rose from the dead? You repent of your sins, you ask God, and that means you're sorry for what you've done. You're sorry for what you've done. There He is, Bill. I'm talking about you right now. You're it. You're the subject. And you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. Now, God has hemmed Himself in. The Bible says God has hemmed Himself in. If you do that, if you have done that, did God save you? Simple as that. Yeah. He saved you. It's over with. It's finished. Now, all of your wickedness that you commit since then, you're going to get to pay for it now. But it will not be put on your account in heaven at all. You know why? Because Jesus Christ suffered for it on the cross of Calvary. He suffered for it on the cross of Calvary. That cross of Calvary, where the sky turned dark, and all the lightning and the earthquake shook and all of that, the darkness that was upon the earth, that's when all of your sins were laid upon Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, all of the sins of everybody that was ever born into this world, their sins were laid upon Him. And He felt the suffering of all of your sins and all of my sins. And it ought to make you feel that when you look at that. Jesus is going to wear those scars into eternity so you can look at Him and see what He did for you. That was because of your sins. Because of your sins. And you won't go to hell unless you fight God and won't repent and call upon Him to save. Thank you. Verse number 2.
Jim?
Yes.
On judgment day, your sins won't be brought before you or anything
no.
like that?
No.
Well, just what is exactly judgment day, and is it telling you?
Okay, there's 2 judgments. There are 2 judgments. There are 2 judgments. You will be judged for what you've done after you've been saved, but not for your sins. Your sins are done. That's it. You will be judged for what you do after a saved person. Right here. The judgment takes place right here. All the saved are judged here. Okay? Now we have a whole dispensation here that's different for all of these people and all of these that are saved. But right here, I mean, that's where the judgment place takes place. Right at the beginning of the tribulation period, that's where all of the saved people, all the way from back, from eternity past, all the way up to here, that's where that judgment takes place. That's the first judgment. You want to be in that one. That's the one you want to be in. Okay? And that one there, you're judged for what you have done for Christ afterwards. What you do in this world, after you're saved, does matter. You don't go to get you to heaven. But if you don't do something that you know you could have done, if you don't serve the Lord like you think you, like you know you could have served, you will answer for them. You will answer for them. Eternity is a long time, isn't it? And in eternity future, your place of standing in the position with the Lord is going to be imperatively indicative of what you've done in this life. It does matter what you do now. It doesn't have anything to do with salvation. I want you to completely divorce your mind from salvation. Salvation is a very simple thing. There are many people that are going to wake up in heaven one of these days after they've been raptured or whatever, and some of them don't even know they've been saved. But they were saved when they were younger in life, and they forgot about it, and they lived somewhat horrible lives. But I'll tell you what, Spirit God was kept on poking them in the heart all the time. They'll wake up in heaven. They're going to be really gladfully surprised. But then they're going to answer for what they did. And that's where they're going to be. You know, there's going to be ditch diggers in heaven. You know that? I preached a sermon one time, ditch diggers in heaven. There's going to be people, there's going to be servants forever in heaven. Servants. But they're going to be in heaven. That's real good. They're in heaven. But they're going to be servants because they wouldn't serve the Lord right now. Then it lasts forever. Not 1,000 years. A lot of people say, oh, well, during this 1,000-year reign, this is when everybody goes up there and the bride, only those that are faithful in the God's New Testament churches are the bride. That's true. And then they get this kind of idea, well, after the millennial reign and after the wedding feast and the bride, everybody becomes a bride. Hogwash. Everybody doesn't become the bride. The bride is the bride forever. She doesn't take on more brides. He doesn't take on another bride, more brides after that. Because the bride was faithful during the church age. Israel could have been the bride, and forever she is divorced from being the bride. She's never going to be a bride. Never. If a Jew wants to be part of the bride today, they better go to one of God's churches and be faithful. Being a bride, you need to have scriptural baptism. That's very important. It's very important. Very important. You need to be faithful in a real New Testament church. That's very important. To be saved, you can be saved anywhere. In any church. I don't know whether there'd be any Mormons saved at all because they're too messed up on God. I don't think there'd be any Jehovah's Witness saved because they're too messed up on God. There might be a Catholic or two saved.
If you're a Catholic, a Mormon, or whatever, and maybe you're
you got to be saved. If you want to be rewarded, if you want to be part of that bride, then give your life to the Lord. I think to be part of the bride of Christ, you've got to give your life for the Lord. I don't know why I'm going to be in the bride. I'll find out later. I don't know. I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. I know that. I know I'm doing today exactly what God wants me to do. I'm right in the center of His will. Right at this very second. I know that. It's up to the Lord. I know I'm saved. I have no doubt that I'm going to be with the Lord. Period. Zero doubts. Because I believe God. I believe Him. You believe God? You think God can lie? You think you can call upon Him to save your soul and Him not do it? Not going to happen. Now what part you play in eternity, that's different. All right, now let's go to the other judgment over here. We're jumping ahead of time. But way over here is the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment, that's the judgment of the lost. You know the lost are going to be judged. How bad you were has a lot to do with it. You know, the only place for works is in hell. As far as salvation. A lot of people, you ask them, how can, are you going to go to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. That doesn't attribute anything to being in heaven. That attributes only to where you're going to be in hell. If you're a real good person, you're going to be in a more tolerable place in hell than the other bad guys. But hell is no place you want to be in the beginning. Period. Zero. There's not going to be any fellowship in hell. There's not going to be... If I went to heaven, all my friends are in hell. So what? They won't like you in hell. Hell's a place of darkness. Hell's a place of non-communication. You know one of the things that they do in prison for a person that's really bad? It's what's called what?
Solitary
confinement. Hell is going to be an eternity of solitary confinement. There won't be any, they're not atheists for one moment after they're dead. One second after they're dead, they're no longer atheists. They can be atheists all they want to in this life. Just have at it. But one moment after you die, one second after you die, you're no longer an atheist. And there aren't any atheists in hell. There aren't any. There aren't any atheists in hell. All of them believe. Okay? 6 and 2. And I behold a hippos. We got a word hippopotamus, that means water horse from this word hippos. A horse white, leucos. And the one sitting upon him having a bow, a toxon, that's what it is, an archer's bow. And it was given to him a stephanos, a crown by right of birth. Ooh. Ooh. The Antichrist is going to be of the right birth. Now let's look at this Antichrist here. We're talking about the Antichrist. The world's going to welcome the Antichrist. This Antichrist, who's it going to be? If he's going to be accepted by the Jews as a Messiah, what's he going to have to be? He's going to have to be Jewish. So this boy's going to have a Jewish background. He's going to at least have to have a Jewish mama. Okay? This Antichrist does. He's going to have a crown by right of birth, lineage. And he went out conquering Nikon. Nike shoes, I get the word, that word has come from conquering. And in order that he might conquer. He went out conquering in order that he might conquer. Ezekiel 38:11, Daniel 7:1-8, Daniel 8:25, Daniel 9:26-27. Daniel 11:21, Matthew 24:4-5, 6-7, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and Zechariah 13:8-9 are all cross-referenced to this, and we could go to every one of them, but we'd never get through this one. All I'm telling you, they're saying the same thing as we're talking about right here. 6 and verse 3 now. And when he opened up the seal, the second. Now, we got the first seal. Look at your little deal there. The little thing I handed out. Look at that. I don't have one. All I've got is mine. The first seal. These are the seals right here. You got them over there? See the seals. Now, this is during the first part of the tribulation period, okay? Is this helping you any to understand this a little bit? Okay? We're living during the first half of the tribulation period now. The lost people are all on the earth. There aren't any saved people from the church age here. All the people that are saved on the earth right now are people that have believed after the rapture. But the Antichrist is alive and well. Israel is alive and well. They're still religious with their little hats on and little phylacteries and all that kind of stuff. They still got them. They're having a good time because now the Messiah has come on the scene. Their Messiah is here and he's going to build them. He's going to put in, he's going to build it over there on Temple Mount somewhere. They're going to have a temple. Verse number 3 now. I got to back in English, don't I? And when he opened up the seal, the second. I heard the second living being saying, "You come, come." That's a imperative. Come, come. 6 and verse 4. I want you to look and see. Now we have the revelation. We have the Antichrist. He's going to change horses now. He rode a white horse. Come in. White horse is a horse of safety. White charger. Now he's going to change horses. Now he's going to get another horse. This one here, it's a horse like fire, fiery colored. It's Piros. Piros. How many of you ever played marbles when you were little? Anybody ever play marbles? Piris? Piri. They look like fire inside. Piris. Okay? Piris. It comes right out of Greek. And he went out another horse. Piros, red. And the one sitting upon him, it was given to him to receive the peace out of the earth. And in order that one another they shall slay. And it was given to him a sword. The word sword there, makara, that is the ability to kill. They might have been marching around with rubber bullets in their guns before, but now they're putting a real thing there. They've got real hand grenades. They're not using tear gas anymore. It's bombs and mortars. How many of you ever been around in warfare? Brother Roger, I know you've been in warfare. It's shaky. I went in the Middle East in 1975 and 76, and I dodged a lot of bullets and a lot of bombs. I heard mortars go off. And we're going to have some of those up on the website pretty soon so you can hear the warfare. As I was out there on these archaeological digs, you can hear a professor standing up there and in the background, boom, boom, boom. Brother Madden looked at me and he said, "Brother Phillips, makes me want to dig a foxhole." But we were right out in the open. Those bullets were whizzing. Have you ever had a bullet whiz by you? Oh, how many of you had a bullet whiz by? Whing. Yeah. It's exciting. That's all I can say. It's exciting. Had a lot of them zip by you. Even arrows, huh? An arrow going by, they go. Didn't one of them knock your helicopter down one time?
It didn't knock it down, but it went into
the... It went into the helicopter. They were shooting arrows at it. A sword great. A great sword. Lots of military activity here. Lots of military activity. He's cutting down civil war among his Western nations. And who are these Western nations? The Western Bloc. Which the United States is made up of. Many people believe that the United States will be attacked with atomic warfare and the United States won't exist when this takes place. I want you to understand that. There are many theologians who really think that. And we're sitting on the verge of nuclear war on American soil at every moment. Did you know that? You have to realize that. Don't ever take one day for granted. Not one day. I don't. You know, I'm going to try to be here this afternoon and teach my class, but I won't guarantee it, but I'm going to make every effort to try to be here and teach that class. And I'll try to be here next Wednesday night, but I'm not going to guarantee it. That's my will. That's what I'd like to do. And I'm preparing for it. Prepare, plan like you're going to be here next Wednesday and this afternoon. But live like you're not going to be here after the class. Because you may not have that life. Life when you're young is very something you take for granted, isn't it? So young and so strong. I remember when I could do the things that I could. Out there when I worked as a derrick man on the oil fields, I had to carry 600 pounds of mud sack up a stair and set them and pop and cut them and throw them in the hoppers fast I can and carry them and carry them. 600 pounds. I can't carry 20 pounds today. I have to get my wife to carry my stuff. I can't carry it. I have to get her to lift the thing. And that's what time does for you. You know, it's in days.
I don't know how he does it. I can't get mine lifted up.
Bill, you got to act like you're totally disabled to do that. And just act like it now. You don't want to be that way. Okay? Okay, she's right behind you. You're in trouble. Six. Well, all of that stuff with Nostradamus actually is speculation because you can take somebody's writings and make them say anything.
Yeah, wasn't it him that said that there, never mentions the United States in the future?
Yes. No. Now, some people think that the islands, that it talks about the islands, that it's talking about in the Bible, the islands that were destroyed and completely wiped off the face of the earth, is America. Talks about the islands. Okay. Now we have a different colored horse. And when he opened up the seal, the third. Now we're in the third seal. Look on there and see your third seal. What time does that take place? Number seal. What period of time is that? Look down there. When's the third seal hit? All right. When's the third seal hit? How far is it in there, Brother Roger? You know? Have you got... You don't have got your chart in front of you.
No.
That's about in the middle of the first 3.5 years. About in the middle there. So that's about a year and three quarter into the... This is going to be about a year and three quarter into the tribulation period. And when he opened up the seal, the third, I heard the third living being saying, "You come." And I saw, and you behold, a horse black. Black horse. You know how they have black horses at funerals, don't they? They used to. They don't have carriages like that anymore. But they used to have a black horse. They wanted six black horses. Audie Murphy did a movie one time called Six Black Horses. Talking about a funeral march. "And you behold a horse black, and the one sitting upon him having scales, balance, in the hand of him." Now, what was the American president that had more power than any other American president to regulate what the cost of anything was? Who was it? Huh? No, not FDR. That's FDR. He called in the gold. All right. He tried to level the economy. Who was the man, who was the American president? I used to teach political science, so I know these little bitty things. And Western Civ, okay.
Pride 2, you mean?
Anyway.
Pride 2?
Yeah.
JFK?
No.
Okay.
Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson. Who was the man that tried to do it again? And they cut his throat.
Obama?
No. Richard Nixon. How many terms did Richard Nixon have? This is going to surprise you. How many terms did Richard Nixon, how many terms was he president? How many terms did Richard Nixon go?
He had one in part of another.
All right, let's go on a little bit further. No, he didn't. I'm going to tell you something. Tony Blair, we're talking about economics right now. Tony Blair said the greatest Republican president in America was Bill Clinton. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Because Bill Clinton's closest friend and confidant that told him every move to make was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon actually controlled America all during Bill Clinton's... Everything that Bill Clinton was Richard Nixon. That's right. And they cut his throat and they got ready because he was going to control prices. And they didn't want that. They got rid of him. All right, he didn't do anything different than anybody else. You know, presidents always think they're immune from anything, don't they? They're so high up there, they think they're immune from whatever they might do wrong. All right, the one sitting upon him had scales, and that's where we're going to finish off. We're going to start with six and six next week. I hope you enjoyed this.